Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second midweek in Advent comes from Psalm 50. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. That's Father Text. Sometimes our God is confusing, or at least we seem to think so. In truth, he is sure and steady as the day is long, never moving, never changing, always about the exact same thing. We just don't have ears to hear it. Truly, Asaph, the composer of our psalm for tonight, must have been a little bit confused as well. He was a Levite, appointed by David to provide music for all of the services in the temple, and so surely he knew what happened behind those walls. The daily sacrifices and special sacrifices and super special sacrifices that were offered each and every single day of the year. Those sacrifices had been established by God. But here in our psalm that he writes that God will not accept a bull from the Israelites' house or even a goat from their fold. So what gives, God? Why are we here tonight? I mean, I know why we're here, but why are we here? What's the point of a midweek Advent service? Why do we gather extra and special during this time? We do it in Lent, too. The church calls these times, these seasons, penitential. Is that why we come? Because we ought to worship more during these times than at others? Certainly that can't be the case. So why are we here? And for that matter, why do we come at all, even on Sundays? Surely our Lord does call us to gather together, just like he did of the saints of old, they at the temple, us here at church. But why? What's the purpose of all of it? The danger that we sinners too often fall into is what theologians, when they're trying to sound super smart, call ex opere operato. It's a fancy phrase that basically means from the work performed, or it works if you work it. In essence, the thought is that the things done here at church and then back at the temple are really just arbitrary things that God has set up for worshipers to do. They're the religious equivalent of shovel-ready projects. They don't really accomplish anything in and of themselves, but they need to be done nonetheless. They say that God wants or needs to be worshipped. So he just devises those weird ways in which we're going to worship him. In the temple, that looked like sacrifices. And so bulls and goats were brought forward each and every day because, well, God said so. Slaughter the bull and God will be happy. Offer the blood of a goat and the Lord will smile upon you. Now we no longer slaughter animals. But we may, in fact, believe that God needs our worship just like he did back then. And so we punch the ticket on Sundays, twice as much during Advent and Lent. We sing our songs. We pray our prayers. We place our offering envelopes in the tray. And then we go home pleased. Pleased with ourselves. Because we're sure that God is now pleased with us and our worship. But God doesn't want it. In our psalm, he says that he's going to come and he is going to testify against Israel and he's going to call all of creation to bear witness. He's the prosecuting attorney come to bring charges against his own people. Not only that, he's the judge too. He's the one who's going to judge them. But how? And what's he going to judge them for? He judges them based upon their deeds done at the temple. The very deeds that he's prescribed for them to do. Strange, I know. Is there no pleasing this God of ours? God doesn't want their sacrifices. What is a bull to him? Does he hunger and thirst like we do? What does he need any of these things for? If he were hungry, as if he would ever be hungry, he wouldn't beg us for food or for a cup of water. The earth is his, the fullness thereof. Everything under the sun he created. Does he need us to give it to him? How silly a notion. Except this is exactly the thought that the Israelites had fallen into. For them, worship was a magic formula to force the hand of God to be moved in their favor. But this was wrong, and God would judge them for it. Are we any different? Have we come here special this evening so that we can lay our heads on our pillows tonight, sure that God will smile upon us because we've offered him 2 hours of our time this week instead of the normal one? When you say it like that, it sounds kind of foolish, I know. But tell me, is this not how we oftentimes approach worship? Most times. More times than we would like to admit. So if God doesn't need our sacrifices of bulls and goats, if he doesn't need our songs and our money, if he doesn't need us to come together tonight, or even on Sundays, then why does he demand it from us? And why do we do it? And perhaps the problem here isn't with an ever fickle God, but with an ever sinful us. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. That's what he says there. Those are the words of our Lord, come from the mouth of our God. Our sacrifice is not our time or our talent or our treasure, but our thanksgiving. Meaning that we come here not looking to give God anything, but instead looking for God to grant us everything. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. How is it that we glorify God? Through the understanding and belief, through the faith that says everything that God has prescribed for us to do in worship is for our good and our benefit, not his. It is God who is the servant. It is he who is doing all of the work. The sacrifices and rites and rituals prescribed in the Old Testament for the temple were for the good of the people. God's gifts of grace and mercy and forgiveness given through those things, the cross thrust backward in time to be handed out and spoken into ears, and taken up in the flesh of bulls and goats, which the people themselves would then receive and eat. The worship of the temple was a worship of reception, and it's no different for us. Our God is a God who gives. He desires nothing from us except an empty sack, so that he can fill it up to the brim with the forgiveness of the cross. For Jesus came in the flesh, not to be served, but to serve. And he continues to serve us this day as well. We don't come here tonight to serve God unless that service is a service of passive reception. We worship God rightly when we come to receive. When we in thanksgiving declare, God, be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God, preach your word into my ears that I may have life. Lord, proclaim your forgiveness over me that I might be righteous in your sight. Precious Jesus, prepare your table before me and feed me with the very body broken on the cross, the very blood poured out for my salvation. Dear God, Heavenly Father, today is my day of trouble, and I call out to you. I glorify you today, which is nothing more to say than I need you, God, to do it all for me. So draw me to you as often as you can, so that I may receive forgiveness and salvation from your gracious and merciful hand. That, my friends, is true worship. That's why we come here on Sundays and double during this time of Advent, to receive Jesus all the more for our salvation. In the name of Jesus.